所以说我们感谢你，是吧？由于你在十字架上的救赎，神使我们这些罪人才能够来到你的家中，使我们这些罪人才能够变成一群有盼望的人。所以说我们谢谢你在十字架上的救赎，所以我们也谢谢你在 Dayton 这个地方给我们众弟兄姐妹有一个家，能够在这个家里面敬拜你。所以我们也谢谢你在这样天寒地冻的时间，主，你给我们众人有一个温暖的心来到你的家中。神不只是纪念你，神也我们也彼此相爱。神，我们也更感谢你带领你的仆人来到我们当中，要传讲你的信息。神，我们真是恭敬的把今天晚上的聚会交给你。神，不论是讲的还是听的，神啊，还是翻译的，神，我们每一个细节都放在你的恩手里面。求你与我们众肢体、众朋友同在。我们这样祷告，是奉主耶稣基督的圣名求。Amen。是不是有 Rice Day 的学生要现身？我明天上午上。我们有很多圣诞节的诗歌哈，那么我们下面还要再唱一首，看看。我们来，
美在小的沙漠里啊，也是他的季节。我梦我今天在谁的悄然惊醒，在你漆黑的街去永恒绽放早晨，万事希望我真有今宵之终于你。
今年的二月就来到我们当中过一次哈，那在座大部分都也认识他，庄主坤弟兄啊，是我们教会庄主仪弟兄的弟弟。那么我在1969年就认识他，那时候我们都在我在台大念研一，他是化工室来当时，那我们那时候我那时候在工学院团系啊，副司主，我们很高兴他们来到我们当中，他。他大学一毕业啊，在石化界，台湾的石油化工界博士啊，做博士，然后后来又到美国到西北大学念书，然后又回去啊，在联工所做化工组的组长。那么这次是第二次来到我们当中，今天晚上要跟我们讲是乐园的失去与重建。我们在他讲到以前，我们再唱一首诗歌，在585首啊，下面时间交给庄弟兄和翻译。
很高兴今天能够有机会再次到 Dayton。
I'm very happy to be here again。
也许有些人会很奇怪，为什么在圣诞夜前夕要讲夫妻关系
？Some people may think it's strange to talk about the spousal relationship。Just right before Christmas Eve.
因为有人形容说，现在夫妻关系好像是两性间的战争。
Because somebody described the spousal relationship as a battle of sexes.
现在是要唱平安夜的时候。
But this is the time to sing Silent Night.
所以我们要家庭里面要宣布和平。
So we must declare the truth in the family.
当然，我相信今天来到这里的人都并不是因为你家里已经有问题了。
I'm sure you're not here because you have family problems.
所以通常我们这种讲座叫做family enrichment workshop.
Normally we call this kind of meeting the family enrichment workshop.
我们不是，我们这个专题应该是叫做 family enrichment， 应该是说家庭关系的增进，而不是。家庭关系的修补 ，troubleshooting of the family workshop.
So that needs no translation.
所以呢，今天我们是说家庭可能关系还不错，不过还需要增进。
We may say we have a reasonably good family relationship, but we can improve upon it.
今天大部分的家庭可能没有热战。 Maybe 但是有冷战。
Maybe we don't have hot war in the family, but we sure do have the cold one.
因为你可能跟你丈夫跟你太太已经有两三年都没有真正讲过几句话。
Maybe the husband and wife really haven't talked to each other、during the last couple years.
你回家带唯一讲一句话是今天晚上吃什么。
Maybe you just say, what did you eat tonight?
除此以外就没有话讲。
And there's nothing else to talk about.
我们今天用的题目是乐园的失去与重建。
Tonight we want to talk about the loss and restoration of the paradise.
为什么我用这样的题目来讲？
Why do we want to talk about such a topic?
因为在圣经的第一本书《创世纪》就谈到婚姻。
Because the first book, Genesis, in the Bible, talk about marriage.
所以谈到婚姻的关系，从基督徒的角度来看的话，
If we talk about the marital relationship from a Christian perspective,
我们必须从《创世纪》谈起。
So we must begin with Genesis.
所以我们要谈三个部分。
So we're going to talk about that in three parts.
第一个部分是原来神设立的婚姻在乐园里面的时候原来是怎么样
的。First is how was the marriage established by God in the paradise.
所以中文可以叫做在乐园里。
So in Chinese they say in the paradise.
那么第二个部分我要谈的就是失乐园，就是这个乐园失去了。
The second one is the loss of paradise.
因为当人犯罪的时候，这个关系就破坏了。
Because after human sin, they have fractured that relationship.
然后第三个部分就要谈到这个乐园的重建。
The third part we talk about restoration of the paradise.
当然，我们基督徒在谈到夫妻关系、婚姻关系的时候，我们有不同的角度和看法。
Of course, we look at the spousal or marital relationship of Christians. We look at it from a different aspect.
所以我们当中也许有一些你还不是基督徒。
So maybe some of you who are not yet Christians.
请你欣赏比较一下。
So I ask you just watch and make comparison.
当我们从基督徒从圣经的观念来看这个问题的时候，跟你平常所听到所看到的有什么不同？
So we want to look at it, how does it differ from the ordinary view when we look at it from the biblical point of view.
首先我们要看一下原来神设计的婚姻在乐园里面是怎么样的。
So how was the marriage as established by God in the paradise?
如果你有圣经请你翻开创世纪第二章。
If you brought your Bible, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2.
我们首先要看在原来神设计的婚姻关系夫妻关系是什么样的。
First of all, we want to see how was it like the marital institution established by God.
我们首先看创世纪第二章第十八节。
Let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18.
我用中文念，那么如果你看英文圣经的话，请你自己读。
We read it in Chinese and you can follow along in English.
创世纪是所有圣经的第一本书，应该很容易找到的。
It's the first book in the Bible, so it should be easy to find.
创世纪第二章第十八节，耶和华神说：“那人独居不好，我要为他造一个配偶，帮助他。”然后我们再看第二十一节到二十五节。
And we pick up from verses 21 through 25.
耶和华神使他沉睡，他就睡了。于是取下他的一条肋骨，又把肉合起来。耶和华神就用那人身上所取的肋骨造成一个女人，领他到那人跟前。那人说：“这是我骨中的骨，肉中的肉，可以称她为女人，因为她是从男人身上取出来的。”因此人要离开父母，与妻子联合，二人成为一体。当时夫妻二人赤身肉体，并不羞耻。在这段圣经的里面，首先我要稍微说明几个重点。
I want to point out a few important points in this passage.
我不准备在今天这段时间跟大家谈到神创造世界、创造人类的问题。
I'm not here to talk about the problem of God's creation and also creating the human beings.
所以我暂时不想跟各位争论，怎么可能人男人的一根肋骨变成一个女人。
I'm not here to argue with you how come a man's rib become a woman.
所以你也不必去照 X 光说男人是不是比女人少一根肉。
So there's no point of you to go take an X-ray to see whether you are at one rib short less than a woman.
事实上，在圣经上的肋骨那个字，在圣经除了这里没有出现过。
Because that's the only place in the Bible to talk about rib. No other place in the Bible can find such thing.
所以那个字到底是不是肋骨还有问题。
So whether that bone is indeed a rib is a problem.
唯一知道是那个字的字根的意思是。一半的意思，一边的意思。
The root of that word really just means a half or just one side.
A side, 一边。所以唯一能确定就是神创造这个女人的时候，不是用她的脑袋做的。
So it just say when God make woman, did not use the brain to make it.
也不是用她的脚趾头做的。
And not from the toe either.
是用她的一半做的。
Just use a side of man.
所以为什么在美国通常称太太或称丈夫叫做 better half， 就是另外的一半。
So that's why in America you talk about woman, your wife, the better half.
这是非常 biblical 合乎圣经的说法。
That's really a biblical description.
那么重点是什么呢？
What's the emphasis here?
最重要的几个重点是，原来神设计的那个美满的婚姻有几个很重要的特点。
Because here, God had made some advantages in his design of man, setting out the marital institution.
第一件事情我们要知道，神创造女人的目的是为了第十八节所说的，造一个配偶来帮助她。
Really, God's purpose of creating woman is to help the man to be his companion.
换句话说，这个妻子是丈夫的帮助者。
Because she is to be his helpmate.
这个帮助者，请我们不要误会另外一个意思。
Please don't misunderstand the meaning of helpmate.
我们常常想说，帮助者就是一个好像演电影的配角。
That's not a supporting cast as in the movie.
因为圣经上最常用帮助者这个字的是谁呢？是神。
Because the most frequently described as a helper is God.
在圣经上大概有四分之三的机会提到。什么人是什么人的帮助者的时候，都是说神是我们的帮助者。
Because whenever there's mention about so and so is somebody else's helper, that's God. So God is our helper.
那难道神比我们还要次要？
Is God secondary to us then?
难道神比我们差一点？
Is he inferior to us?
大部分每次圣经上提到帮助者，帮助者都比被帮助者要强一点的。
Because actually, every time they talk about the helper, really, the helper is stronger than the one that's being helped.
那为什么叫他叫帮助者呢？
Then why do we call him the helper?
因为被帮助者常常是主动者。
Because the one that's being helped is the one that's really the subject. He's the one.
如果我要帮你做一件事情。
Because if I want to help you to do something,
不见得我比你差。
It's not necessary that I am inferior than you are.
但是我既然是帮忙的，你就要先主动啊。
But as I'm helping you, you better do help yourself first.
你不能把工作丢给我，那我变成帮助者。我到底是帮助的，还是我是主动的？
You shouldn't get me stuck with your task because I'm just here to help.
所以神设立妻子做帮助者的意思，不是说女人的能力比较低，或者地位比较低。
Therefore, when God sent Adam this helpmate, does not mean the woman is inferior and have a lower position.
而是说做丈夫的要主动，而且要负责任。
Just being the husband must be the one that takes the initiative and be responsible.
所以神可以成为我的帮助者。
So you can say God is my helper.
但我要负责任。
But I must be responsible.
而且我必须主动。
And I must take the initiative.
我不能等神来做事情。
I can't sit there and wait him to do my task.
第二件我们要注意的事情是什么呢？
What's the second point we should watch out for?
因为妻子，女人是从男人的一半做出来的。
Because woman is created from a half a man.
所以丈夫称妻子叫做骨中之骨，肉中之肉。
That's why Adam called Eve, your bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.
中国人的骨肉之亲，在圣经上来讲，跟我们的想法不一样。
So we talk about Chinese relationship of bone and flesh. It's a little bit different from what we talk about here.
我们的骨肉之亲是指的父母生儿女的骨肉之亲。
So the Chinese relationship of flesh and bone is vertical, just like parents to the next generation of children.
从生物学、从 biological 观念来看，是对的。
It's correct biologically.
因为儿女是从母亲肚子里生出来的，所以你的肉跟骨头都从母亲生出来的。
Because the children are born of the womb of the mother, so therefore it's really coming down vertically.
可从圣经的观点，是从神学的角度来看的话呢，是从创造来讲，是夫妻才是骨肉之亲的。
But from the concept of creation, then the spouses are really born of the bone and flesh.
所以一方面强调夫妻的平等。
First, it emphasized, in one side, it emphasized equality between man and wife.
而且表示他们的亲密的关系。
And also, to express their intimacy.
在中国人的骨肉之亲的观念太强，以至于产生一个扭曲。
The Chinese have overemphasized these relationship of flesh and bone, and it's caused some problems.
我们的骨肉之亲这种上下两代的关系太强。以至于好像我们的几代永远没有剪断那样。
Well, we have so overemphasized this relationship, look like we have not severed the umbilical cord.
但在圣经强调的亲密关系是夫妻的，而不是父子或者母子的。
But what's emphasized in the Bible is about the spouses, not about the parents and child.
所以在第二章二十四节，他有提到说，所以人要离开父母，与妻子联合，二人成为一体。
So in Genesis 2, verse 24 say, the man should leave his parents and join with his wife, and the two should become one.
因此在乐园中的婚姻关系是夫妻关系大于母子关系。
Therefore, in the relationship inside the paradise, between the husband and wife is greater than the one between parent and children.
任何家庭里面，如果母子关系大于夫妻关系的，都会有问题。
In any family, if parent-child relationship is greater than the spousal relationship, there is going to be problem.
所以在中国社会当中的婆媳问题永远是很大很大的问题。
Therefore, we have great problems in Chinese society of the in-laws problems.
因为如果母子关系过于亲密，这是违反圣经的。
Because if we overemphasize the parent-child relationship, that's really contrary to the biblical teaching.
因为圣经上讲得很清楚，人要离开父母。
Because the Bible has clearly stated man must leave his parents.
离开父母不是说从此我们就不认这个父子关系、母子关系了。
It's not a renunciation of the relationship.
而是承认有一个更亲密的关系重新建立了。
But to say there is a more intimate relationship to be established, and that is with someone else.
所以如果丈夫在公司里面碰到问题。
So if the husband is having a difficulty at job,
回家第一件事情打电话给妈妈。
And the first thing he'll do is call, after getting home, is call his mother.
你一定有麻烦了。
That's going to be trouble ahead then.
如果你要哭，第一个他找你太太。
Because if you want to cry, the first one to be looking out is your wife.
同样的，做太太的如果有事情，第一件事情回娘家求救的话。也会有问题的。
Likewise, if the wife seeks relief from her parents, there's going to be problem too in that family.
乐园中的婚姻关系是与父母的关系从今以后改变了，而是夫妻二人成为一体。
The relationship stated in the paradise is that you have to change the relationship from with your parents to the one with your spouse.
不但是你跟你的父母，你跟你的儿女也要注意。
Not only you must watch out for a relationship you have with your parents, but also those with your children.
不要爱你的儿子过于爱你的丈夫。
Don't love your children more than you love your husband.
很多丈夫当他的儿子、女儿出生以后，他就开始觉得失落了。
Many husbands feel neglected after the birth of children.
他就失乐园了。
And he just lost his paradise.
所以母子连心，可是应该要跟丈夫更连心才对。
The parent and child have one heart, but that's also necessary for the one with the spouse.
所以这边强调的是，夫妻关系是超越一切所有的人际关系的，这是圣经的观点。
What's emphasized here is a spousal relationship should be stronger than any other ones.
25节提到第三个很重要的一点，就是夫妻二人赤身露体，并不羞耻。
And verse 25 talk about both husband and wife were naked.And they were not ashamed.
重点我们今天不是在说是不是那时候穿不穿衣服的问题，而是说他们彼此可以完全的赤裸敞开，完全 open, 没有羞耻。
The point here is not what kind of clothing they didn't wear, it's they have nothing to hide from each other.
所以在理想的原来在神设计的夫妻关系是两个人可以毫无保留的信任的。
So the ideally is they have nothing to hide from each other, nothing to hold back.
等一下你就注意到，当罪进入人性里面的第一个反应，就是这个东西就变了。
In a while, you would notice after sin had entered into the human heart, this is the first thing to go.
然后我们来看失乐园。
Now let's look at the loss of paradise.
我们看创世纪第三章。
Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3.
当然同样的有很多有争议性的问题我今天不准备讨论。
Anything that's argumentative, I'm not going to talk about today.
我不准备争论说罪怎么来的。
I'm not going to argue with you about the origin of sins.
我不准备跟你争论说这个蛇这个魔鬼怎么来的。
I'm not going to argue with you about the origin of the serpent.
我只要谈到罪进来之后发生了什么。
I just want to talk to you about what happened after sin had entered into our life.
我从第六章第七第三章的第六节第七节我读一下。
我 go over verses five, six and seven of chapter three.
第六节，于是女人见那棵树的果子好做食物，也悦人的眼目，且是可喜爱的，使能使人有智慧，就摘下果子来吃了，又给她的丈夫，她丈夫也吃了。他们二人的眼睛就明亮了，才知道自己是赤身肉体，便拿无花果树的叶子为自己编做裙子。然后我们接下来看第九节。
And then we go over verse 9.
一直到第十六节。
From verses 9 through 16.
第九节，耶和华神呼唤那人，对他说：“你在哪里？”他说：“我在园中听见你的声音，我就害怕，因为我赤身露体，我便藏了。”耶和华说：“谁告诉你赤身露体呢？莫非你吃了我吩咐你不可吃的那树上的果子吗？”那人说：“你所赐给我与我同居的女人，她把那树上的果子给我，我就吃了。”耶和华神对女人说：“你做的是什么事呢？”女人说：“那蛇引诱我，我就吃了。”耶和华神对蛇说：“你既做这事，就必受咒诅，比一切的牲畜野兽更甚。你必用肚子行走，终身吃土。我又要叫你和女人彼此为仇，你的后裔和女人的后裔也彼此为仇。女人的后裔要伤你的头，你要伤她的脚跟。”又对女人说：“我必多多加增你怀胎的苦楚，你生产儿女必多受苦楚。你必恋慕你丈夫，你丈夫必管辖你。”十七节，他又对亚当说：“你既听从妻子的话，吃了我所吩咐你不可吃的那树上的果子，地必为你的缘故受咒诅，你必终身劳苦，才得从地里得吃的。”好，我们先念到这个地方。
So we'll stop here for a moment.
我说过，我不准备争论这个罪怎么样的过程进入人的心中的。
I've told you that I'm not going to talk about the process of sin entering into human heart.
我只要说的是罪自从进入人性之后在婚姻关系当中产生了什么变化。
I want to talk to you about what kind of effect after sin entering into human heart on a marriage.
很奇妙的就是圣经上记载说当吃了果子以后的第一个反应是什么。
So what's the first reaction after eating the forbidden fruit?
第三章第七节他说两个人眼睛明亮了，看见自己是赤身肉体，就用无花果树的叶子为自己编做裙子。
Verse 7 of chapter 3 talk about their eyes brightened and they noticed they were naked, so they make some covering out of fig leaves for themselves.
其实在乐园里面只有两个人。
Actually, there were just two of them in the paradise.
亚当跟夏娃还要做裙子干什么？
So what's this business of making a covering? Just the two of them there.
没有第三个人。
There's no third party to look at them.
难道是怕神看见他们？
Are they afraid of God to see their nakedness?
但是你会发现，最近来的第一件事情是开始 cover up， 有一个遮盖。
So you know, notice that after the first occurrence of sin, it comes a cover up.
从此再也不会那种没有羞耻的情况了，都是。有一个遮盖在那里。
Therefore, there's a loss of innocence. There's always a covering there.
再也不是像原来在乐园里面那样说，赤身肉体并不羞耻。
They will no longer be unashamed of themselves of being naked.
这个羞耻不是我们中国人儒家常常说的那种羞耻之心。
This is not the kind of thing that we talk about shame in Confucius teaching.
我们中国人所说的羞耻之心呢，常常有一个正面的意义。
Because what we talk about it, there's a positive side of it.
因为羞耻之心可以防止我们做坏事。
Because the fear of shame will prevent us to do evil things.
但在这边的那种羞耻之心所代表的是另外一面的。
But what we talk about, the feeling of shame is representing the other side.
在约翰一书第四章曾经有一句话这样说。
First John chapter 4, there's a saying.
他提到一件事情，当人跟人之间有一种惧怕的心理的时候，表示爱不完全。
It talks about when there is a fear between human beings, so there is a problem that we want to face.
这个爱不完全，因为我们害怕一个后果，一个刑罚。
Because the fear there would destroy.The fear of the punishment will destroy the love between humans.
表示说我不敢完全信赖你。
To say that I don't dare to completely trust you.
在这边他们感到羞耻，就是开始彼此有一个惧怕。
Here they feel ashamed because that they have a mutual fear of each other.
因为这个害怕，所以他要遮盖，要 cover up.
Because of fear, they need something to cover up.
所以当他们吃了眼睛明亮了结果不是好的而是坏的。
So after they have eaten the fruit, the result was not good, but it was having it bring some evils to them.
不但开始有遮盖而且开始有一种疏离的感觉一个隔阂。
Not only they have they have the feeling ashamed, but also they have a distancing from each other.
他们开始有彼此推诿的一个现象。
They started to have develop a blame system.
所以当神问他说你做了什么事的时候亚当怎么回答呢
When God asked Adam, what have you done? What did Adam say?
十二节亚当说你所赐给我与我同居的女人她做了什么事情
He said, the woman you gave me and who gave me to live with me, she did this.
他没有说哦我的骨中之骨我的肉中之肉给了我给一个果子给我吃。他只是说你所造给我的那一个女人。
He didn't say, my flesh, the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh gave me this fruit. He said, the woman you gave me this fruit.
你看这个话多冷酷啊。
So it's a very cruel saying.
罪进去以后关系就不一样了连称呼都不一样了。
After sin entered human heart, it started to destroy the relationship, even they changed the way they call each other.
更有意思的是当神宣告他的咒诅的时候
It's more meaningful is when God make his curse.
他对那个女人第十六节说他不但提到他说他怀胎的苦楚他要增加他生产的苦楚。
In verse 16, it's not only told Eve that he will increase her pain in the childbirth.
更重要的是下面那句话你必恋慕你的丈夫比丈夫必管辖。
More importantly, he say, you shall desire your husband, and he shall rule over you.
这就是两性战争开始，宣布宣战。
This is declaration of war between the sexes.
他说你要恋慕你的丈夫。
He say, you shall desire your husband.
这个中文的恋慕听起来是一个很好的话。
In Chinese, it didn't sound too bad.
尤其对丈夫听起来很好听的话。
Especially very pleasing to the ear of the husband.
因为他宣布说你的太太会一辈子恋慕你。
It's because God declared that your wife desires you all the life.
同样的，恋慕这个字在整个旧约圣经只出现过三次。
Well, this word desire, explained it this way, only show up three times in the Old Testament.
我们现在知道它真正的意思就是不是恋慕的意思。
The real meaning is not that.
这三次里面两次在创世纪。
Of its three mentions, twice will happen in Genesis.
另外一次就在创世纪第四章。
And the third time, the other time is in Genesis chapter 4.
那因为是同一个作者用同一个字，所以你应该可以更容易准确知道它的意思。
Because it's from the same author, therefore, you know, you can get the meaning even clearer.
我们看第四章的第七节。
Let's turn to Genesis chapter 4, verse 7.
第四章是提到亚当夏娃生了两个儿子，一个叫该隐，一个叫亚伯。
It talk about Adam and Eve were parents to two sons, Adam, Cain and Abel.
然后这个该隐是一个坏儿子。
Cain was sort of a wicked son.
所以神曾经警告他说，罪要来控制你。
So God had warned Cain that sin will control you.
所以第七节，第四章第七节，他这样说，你若行得好，岂不蒙悦纳？你若行得不好，罪就伏在门前，他必恋慕你，你却要制服他。
So this is what God told Cain, saying, "Do not do what is right. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it."
罪会恋慕你。
It talk about sin or evil will be crouching at his door.
这个恋慕绝对不是男女之间的恋慕。
It's not a desire between male and female.
这个意思是罪有一个欲望要控制。
It's talk about a desire of sin to control.
他要完全的掌握你。
To completely control him.
但神对该隐说，你却要制服这个罪。
But God wanted Adam, wanted Cain to master it.
神就对妻子说，你做妻子的，你要恋慕你的丈夫。
So God told the wife, say, you would desire your husband.
这个恋慕同样的是控制的意思。
That also means control.
当然神不是吩咐她要这么做。
God did not tell her to control her husband.
神只是说，从今以后你会这样，而且这个是不好的。
God just tell her that from now on you'll be like that, and it's not good.
等下我再详细解释。我现在过来看丈夫怎么了。
So what's going to happen to the husband?
他说你的丈夫必管辖你。
He told Eve that your husband would rule over you.
那个字同样跟第四章第七节的那个制服是同一个字。
It's the same word as the one talk about master in chapter 4.
那就是说你的丈夫却想要用权势来压服你。
That is to say your husband will use power to suppress you.
所以两性战争正式开始。
So therefore, the battle of sexes has started.
妻子想要控制她的丈夫。
The wife want to control the husband.
丈夫也想要管辖他的妻子。
The husband want to oppress the wife.
圣经上最常用管辖那个字是指暴君在管理他的百姓的时候用那个字。
Bible frequently use oppression that's of a tyrant ruling over his subjects.
当然今天有很多很好的丈夫。
Of course there are many good husbands nowadays.
不过人类几千年的历史来说，大部分你可以归纳出来，大部分的丈夫都有这个欲望要管辖他的妻子。
But through the millennials, there's always husband try to rule over the wives.
不过几千年人类历史也发现，妻子常常想要用另外一种方法去控制她的丈夫。
But in the same period of time, wives try to manipulate their husbands.
有人在形容这个男女的关系是什么呢？
Some people have an unusual way to describe the relationship between male and female.
有人这样形容，两个爱人的关系是什么呢？
Somebody described the relationship between the two lovers.
用英文说是 lover is face to face， 情人是面对面。那么如果是伴侣 partner， the partner is side by side， 是并肩作战。那么我问题是，夫妻是情侣呢还是伙伴呢？
So we don't know husband and wife whether are they lovers or their partners.
所以夫妻应该是 face to face 面对面的呢，还是应该 side by side 并肩的呢？
Should they be face to face or side by side as husband and wife?
我不知道各位做丈夫和做妻子的，你的看法是如何呢？
So what's your view on this?
刚我听到什么？
Both? Back to back.
我发现了、
啊、I found
现在的夫妻关系是什么呢？很妙。
What's the current status?
我们也不是 lover face to face， 我不是情侣。
We're neither lover face to face，
我们也不是 partner side by side，
nor are we partner side by side，
我们是这样子。
We're just a little bit skewed.
这个是做妻子的，她一直看着她的丈夫。
The husband is the wife standing at right angle and looking at the husband.
然后她说：“你为什么都不看我呢？”
And then she said, "Why didn't you look at me?"
那个丈夫呢，每天就只看着电视机。
The wife every day just stare at the TV screen.
哎，不要看我，你看伊索比亚啊，好可怜啊，看伊索比亚难民。哦、oh, 看看这个 Clinton， 他要他看那边。
And his object is just looking at TV and never mind the wife.
做丈夫的一直希望他的妻子是他的 partner， 是他的伴侣。
The husband just really always hoped that his wife would be his partner.
他的妻子永远希望他的丈夫是他的情侣。
The wife always want husband just to be her lover.
这个是做妻子的，一般我只说一般而言，特例是有的。一般而言，这个妻子就一直看着丈夫。
Generally speaking, of course, there are exceptions. A wife always standing at right angle and staring at husband.
这就叫做恋慕。
That's really what we call coveting.
她一直希望她跟她丈夫的关系永远是花前月下一根蜡烛，这样关系。
And she always hoped that their relationship just like the courtship time.
但是做丈夫呢，总是希望他的太太是他工作上的伙伴，他们可以一起奋斗，为了理想，为了抱负。
The husband just want the wife to be a good partner, a good helpmate, and to achieve the higher goals.
难怪男人的外遇大部分都是他的秘书。
No wonder the third side of the triangle is always the secretary of the husband.
或者是跟他一起做 salesman 的那个女的 salesman.
Or another female salesman that he worked with.
那个就是他工作上的伙伴。
That's a helper at his work.
太太的外遇常常是那个会听他发牢骚，从来不皱眉头的人。
The wife's lover is usually a good listener, the one that never frowns on her chit-chat.
因为那个人是他唯一可以面对面一整天的。
Because that one could look at her face-to-face the whole day.
但是总有一天会发现，当他结婚的时候，那个面对面的人又变成这样。
But after they get married, they just turn around and have the same view.
男人就是男人。
Male and male.
很多人结婚三十年还不知道你的丈夫是什么动物。
some people have been married 30 years don't know what kind of creature their husband is.
同样，做丈夫结婚四五十年，可能都还不知道你的太太是什么样的人。
Likewise, the man could be married 40 or 50 years, didn't know much about his wife.
创世第三章，神就已经宣布了，夫妻关系现在会变成这个样子。
But God had already declared what in store for a spousal relationship in Genesis chapter 3.
乐园失去了。
The paradise is lost.
从此彼此的关系再也不像以前那样了。
The old relationship will never be recovered.
那么在这样的情况之下，还有没有希望可以重建乐园呢？
Is there any hope in such a situation to restore the paradise?
当然有希望。
Of course there's hope.
但是有一个基本条件。
But there's the fundamental requirement.
基本的条件第一个就是，对基督徒来看，除非这个罪的问题，根本的问题得到解决，你没有一个治本的办法。
For the Christian, unless you have dealt successfully with the problem of sin, there's no way to remove the cause.
因为夫妻关系的破坏是因为罪破坏的。
Because the damage to a spousal relationship is done by sin.
除非罪的问题被彻底的解决，所以这关系不会彻底的恢复的。
Unless the problem of sin is thoroughly dealt with, then the spousal relationship cannot be successfully restored.
从另外一方面来看呢，也可以说圣经有一些教导该怎么做。
From another point of view, there's also biblical teachings that we can learn from.
但是除非你成为基督徒，你的生命得到改变。
Unless you become a Christian, otherwise your life must be changed.
这些建议好像良药苦口，你不一定吃得下去的。
This may be a good but bitter medicine that you may not be able to take it.
不过我会告诉你圣经上是怎么看，然后怎么建议的。
But I'll tell you how the Bible views this and what kind of suggestion it makes.
然后你可以自己琢磨琢磨，看看这种方法是不是管用。
You can look at it, say, would you go for it?
圣经上有两处圣经特别谈到夫妻关系的。
There are two places having discussion about spousal relationship.
第一段是非常有名，很多人都常常在婚礼的时候会念以弗所书。
The first one is very well known, frequently recited at the wedding, that's in Ephesians.
腓立比书第五章。
Ephesians chapter 5.
在中文圣经273面。
Ephesians chapter 5.
很多婚礼常常会念这段圣经。
This passage is frequently read in weddings.
但是现在因为某些原因，越来越多的人不想念这段圣经
了。For some reason of current age, many people don't desire to read them.
大部分是因为新娘子不太想念。
Because there's objections from the bride.
不相信念念看就知道了。
If you don't believe it, just read through that.
我们从22节念到33节。
We'll read from verse 22 through 33.
我们用这样的方式来念。请姊妹们念22节到24节。
Sisters will read verses 22 through 24.
然后请弟兄们从25节念到第29节。
The brothers will read from verse 25 through 29.
30节到33节我们一起念。
And you will read together 30 to 33.
好，我们请姊妹22节到24节请姊妹念。
The sister will start with verse 22.
如同基督是教会的头，他也是教会全体的幼子。教会要怎样顺服基督，基督要怎样顺服上帝。
请弟兄念25节到29节。
Brothers start with 25.
你们做丈夫的要爱你们的妻子，正如基督爱教会，为教会舍己，要用水借着道把教会洗净，成为圣洁，可以献给自己，做个荣耀的教会，毫无玷污、皱纹等类的病，乃是圣洁、没有瑕疵的。丈夫也当照样爱妻子，如同爱自己的身子。 爱妻子便是爱自己了。从来没有人恨恶自己的身子，总是保养顾惜，正像基督待教会一样。三十节我们一起念：因我们是他身上的肢体，为这缘故，人要离开父母，与妻子联合，二人成为一体。这是极大的奥秘，但我是指着基督和教会说的。然而你们个人都当爱妻子，如同爱自己一样，妻子也当敬重她的丈夫。这段圣经是整个基督教圣经当中非常有争议性的一段圣经之一。
This is really very true in the whole biblical passages.
Very controversial.
Very controversial.
因为谈到妻子顺服丈夫。
You talk about the husband, the wife obeying the husband.
好像顺服主。
Just like what a Christian obeying Christ.
有一次有一对年轻人快要结婚，我们帮他们做婚前辅导，要有一些教导。
And one time this couple was to be married, so we give them a premarital counseling.
然后我就谈到夫妻的角色，我就谈到这段圣经。
So I talked to them about the roles of husband and wife.
然后我也提到说，我说今天这段圣经已经越来越不吃香了。
So I say this passage has become less and less popular nowadays.
我就忽然想起来说，哎。你们结婚要念哪一段圣经啊？
So suddenly I asked him which passage would you read at your wedding.
我就看到那个做丈夫的那个准备做新郎的脸色就很尴尬。
So this man, the groom to be, showing he's really in trouble.
我说哦，你们不想念这段圣经对不对？
So I said you probably don't want to read this passage.
那个新郎点点头。
So the man nodded.
然后问那个新娘说：“是你说不要念，对不对？”
So I asked the bride to be, "Are you the one objecting to that?"
她也点点头。
She nodded.
我说：“没有关系，你们要念哪一段都没有关系，等我解释完，你们再做决定好。”
So I said, "Whatever you want to read, that's okay, but decide after I explain this passage."
解释完以后，他们婚礼真的是念这段圣经。
After the explanation, they read this passage at their wedding.
当我在解释这段圣经之前，我要先提醒读圣经的一个基本态度。
But before I explain this, I must show you the attitude one must have before reading Bible.
有一些圣经不是每一个人都可以读的。
Some passages in the Bible is not to be read by everybody.
这段圣经做丈夫的最好22-24节你当作没看见。
For husband, maybe you shouldn't act like you didn't see this, these verses.
做太太的好像没有看见25-29节一样。
The wife maybe act like pretend that didn't see verses 25-29.
因为那不是写给你念的。
You just say that's not for me.
可是相反的，依照人性的规则，做丈夫的会很大声的念：你们做妻子的当顺服你的丈夫。
But in accordance to human nature, the husband will loudly read verses 22-25.
他常常好像没有记得还有25-29节。
But he forgot there's what follows.
然后做太太的每次听完到回家都跟丈夫说：“哎，老公啊，你有没有看到这25节啊？做丈夫的要爱妻子耶。”
But the wife after hearing a sermon say, "Hey, did you forget to read that the husband must love the wife and so on?"
我们很容易替别人听到。
It's easy for us to listen to a sermon for our benefit, just to give it to someone else.
而且我们替别人都听得很清楚。
When we hear it to heap it on others, we can hear it clearly.
但是听到自己那部分都听而不闻。
For the part for us to hear, we listen, but we don't hear.
所以读圣经的时候要记得，有一些写说给什么人，如果不是你的话，你最好当作没看见。
Therefore, when you read the Bible, if it's for someone else, you probably best pretend you didn't see it.
所以做牧师、做传道人的，最好你不要常常去读哥林多后书那一段提到说要给做长老的加倍的敬奉。你最好不要读那段圣经。
So far,
So for preachers and pastors, you best not read 2 Corinthians about the one pay respect to the deacons, preachers, pastors, and so on.
那是写给执事们看的。
That's just for the deacons.
但是呢，这个执事呢，不要常常去看这个说做长老的要如何劳苦，然后觉得，哎，你应该多劳苦一点。
Neither should the deacons to read that the elders should labor heavily, and then say, "How come you're not doing that?"
所以，你只要读，好好读神所要写给你的那部分。
But just never mind the others. Just see what God has in store for you.
第二个很重要的原则。
The second important principle in reading the Bible.
你要注意读圣经的时候，有一些是一般规则，有一些是特殊规则。
Because some of the passage is for general use, some of them is for specific cases.
像这边来讲，顺服就有一般的跟特别的。
Even for obedience, there are generality and there are specifics.
因为在第五章的二十一节先提到一句话，你们要存敬畏基督的心，彼此顺服。
And chapter 5:21 it says, you should use the heart of respecting God, Christ to respect each other.
彼此顺服就是丈夫跟妻子要彼此顺服，这是一般性的。
That is to say, they should obey each other as between husband and wife.
但是二十二节到二十四节的确刻意的强调妻子要顺服。
But the following verses emphasize how should wife obey.
二十五节到二十九节提到丈夫要爱妻子。
Verses 25 through 29 talk about how should husband love the wife.
可是我们知道，所有圣经都教导要彼此相爱。
But we know all part of Bible talk about they should love each other.
那是一般的原则。
That's a general principle.
那么又强调丈夫要爱妻子。
Again, it emphasized husband should love the wife.
整个的奥妙就在这里。
That is the whole crux of secret.
不是妻子不需要爱丈夫。
Not that the wife should not love the husband.
因为她懂得爱。
She knows the love.
她丈夫却不太懂得。
But the husband may not understand that.
所以要被提醒。
So he should be reminded.
所以为什么有一般有特别的？
So why are there general ones and the specific ones?
特别的总是有原因的。
When we talk about specific case, there's a reason for it.
特别的原因，第一个是你容易忽略，所以要被提醒。
First, it's easy for you to neglect, therefore you must be reminded.
第二个特别的原因是什么？
The second reason for being specific.
好像夫妻吵架，一个第三者在中间做这个仲裁或者是撮合的人。
Suppose the husband and wife have a fight, then there must be a referee as a neutral party.
那么我对丈夫做一些建议的时候，我会注意什么？
So what kind of things I'll notice when I make suggestion to the husband?
因为我看出这个妻子要什么，所以我就建议丈夫说，你应该给她这个。
Because I see the wife's needs, so I suggest to the husband, you should give her such and such.
因为这是她要的。
This is what she wants.
可是做丈夫可能不知道。
The husband may not notice the need.
所以一个是他忽略的，一个是他可能不知道的。
One is that he may have neglected that. The second one is out of his ignorance.
所以你就知道这段圣经为什么强调妻子要顺服。
Therefore, that's why this passage emphasizes that why the wife must obey.
第一个原因是这样子。
First reason is.
尤其今天这个时代。
Especially in this time.
大部分做丈夫都蛮顺服的。
Generally speaking, the husband are very obedient.
所以不需要提醒了。
So there need no reminding.
但是妻子却不太容易顺服。
But it's harder for wife to obey.
所以需要被提醒。
So I need to be reminded too.
这是一个可能性。
That's one possibility.
我相信有些人是这样。
I believe some people are like that.
但是另外一个问题也很重要。
There's also another matter of equal importance.
因为顺服正是你丈夫要的东西。
Because obedience is what your husband wants.
这是他心理上的弱点。
That's his soft spot.
我常在想， 男人是一种什么动物呢？
I figure to think, what kind of creature is that man?
我想到一个比方。
I have an example here.
男人像是一个蚌壳。
It's like a shell.
外强中干。
Top outside, soft inside.
或者说外面是硬的，里面是软的。
Same the explanation.
因为什么？因为男人从小长大的时候，那个家庭的教育跟社会的影响会塑造他成为这样的人。
Because he's a creature of his upbringing from his family as well as from the society he grew up in.
你可以想想看，如果你家里有儿子还有女儿很小的，你从小怎么教他的？
You kind of watch if you have a son and daughter, how do you teach the two of them differently?
假如你个五岁的儿子跑一跑摔了一跤，然后在那哭，你会怎么说？
Say your five-year-old son fell and started crying. What did you say to him?
哭什么哭嘛？又不是女孩子，哭什么哭？不要哭。
You say, why are you crying? You're not a girl. Stop that.
那如果是女儿在哭呢？
If a girl cries,
哦，不要哭哦，这地不好，打打地。
you cuddle her. You say the ground is terrible, so you stomp on the ground.
女孩子可以哭。男人不能哭。
Girl can cry, but not the boy.
我们从小小学课本就这样教我们的。
Same way in a grade school, that's how we're taught.
做好汉，好汉打脱牙和血吞，牙齿被打掉了，连牙齿连血都要吞下去。
Be a little real he-man, so when you get your teeth knocked out, you swallow both the blood and lost teeth, lost tooth.
这叫是男子汉。
So that's how the making of a he-man.
好汉。有泪不轻弹，就不流泪的。
A he-man never shed his tear.
所以你就开始变成蚌壳。
So that's the making of the shell.
你的外面是不露感情的。
You don't show your emotion externally.
但是里面是极为脆弱。
But you're quite frail inside.
所以男人为什么那么样在事业上争强好胜？
That's why men always want to win in their career.
这是唯一。得到他的自尊心跟自信心的地方。
That's the only place they can gain self-respect and self-confidence.
他好像什么事情他都没有感情的。
It shows that he had no emotion for anything.
不可能没有感情的。
That's impossible.
他只是内敛。
He just hide it inside.
但是一个蚌壳每天把这个蚌壳关得那么紧，你怎么办？你还是要打开来啊。
The shell cannot clamp together all day long. You got to open up sometime.
他什么时候会打开呢？
When?
回家的时候。
That's after he gets home.
回家觉得风平浪静的时候，这个蚌壳呢就开一个小缝。
After he gets home, it's a calm water, so he opened a crack.
当他这个缝一打开的时候，告诉你非常危险。
When he opened a little crack, that's very dangerous.
那个太太可能就一个针就刺过去。
Wife may just prick him.
你说又怎么了？哇！一过去，这个蚌壳一被戳了一下以后，盖起来。
Of the abuses that he found the shell, they quickly clamp out.
三年再开一次。
You'll reopen 3 years hence.
所以难怪所有的太太都抱怨说，我的丈夫为什么都不讲话呢？
No wonder the wife always bicker about why doesn't he say anything at home.
你不知道，可能就在三年前某一天，你戳他一下，他就关起来了。
You didn't remember 3 years ago, it may be you sting him, so he clam out.
你不知道他的里面是多么脆弱。
You don't know how fragile he is inside.
他会比女人还要脆弱。
He may be even more fragile than a female.
所以保罗虽然终身都没有结过婚，他会写这样的话。
So even though Paul had never been married, but he could say something like this.
他知道问题所在。
He knows where the problem is.
所以他对妻子说，你要顺服你的丈夫。
So he told the wife, you must obey your husband.
因为他特别需要这个东西。
Because he really needs this little thing.
这个顺服当然不是无条件的、绝对的顺服。
This is not an unconditional.Absolute obedience.
因为二十一节已经有个基础，你们要在基督存敬畏基督的心，彼此顺服的。
Because verse 21 say, you must use the heart of respecting Christ to obey each other.
如果我说不是基督徒，你说这个药怎么吃？顺服怎么做？
You say if I'm not a Christian, how am I going to do this?
是有问题的。
So there is a problem.
因为是有很多的丈夫是很霸道的，不讲理的。
Because there are many husbands who are absolute tyrants.
但是如果夫妻两个人都是基督徒，都是敬畏基督的话。
If both husband and wife are Christians and both of them respect Christ,
他们也会学习彼此顺服。
They'll learn to obey each other.
但是当妻子用顺服的态度对她的丈夫的时候，
When the wife used the attitude of obedience toward the husband,
这丈夫的这个蚌壳会开得很大。
The husband's shell will open wide.
他会对你毫无保留。
He will not hold anything back from you.
赤露敞开，赤身露体，毫不羞耻。
You'll be open up completely, almost like start naked.
因为他知道他可以信赖你。
He knows he can trust you and rely on you.
如果不是如此，你们的夫妻关系也许不错，也许没有问题，但是仍然有危机。
Maybe if you don't do this, maybe you have pretty good relationship, but there's danger within.
等下最后我会提到一些实际的建议。
Toward the end, I would give you some practical suggestions.
我们再看看，做丈夫的为什么要爱妻子呢？
Let's see, why does husband have to love his wife?
同样的原理。
It's on the same principle.
因为丈夫就是容易忽略爱的这个事情。
Because it's easy for husband to neglect this matter of love.
但是妻子比较不会忽略。
But the wife is harder for her to neglect that.
我不知道有多少做丈夫的，如果你结婚十年、二十年，仔细反省一下，你太太生日，你几次给她送过礼物，或送过卡片，或送过任何东西的？
For those of you who are husbands who have been married 10 or 20 years,